Awakening Blast. That's going to be on Thursday. And what we have to get to is this, is about Tashlik and about the mikvah. How many have never been to a Tashlik service? Probably just a handful. So what I want to do is we're going to minister what to expect, what we're going to be doing. It's just very, very important. A Tashlik service is not something that is required from the scriptures in Leviticus 23. But it is something, it's a way to walk out a commandment. The thing about Tashlik, and I'm going to be explaining it just in a moment. Tammy can maybe go to the scripture, because I'm going to read the whole scriptures, a few verses. But Tashlik means casting. It means to cast. And what we will do is we will take some stones when we go to the river, and we will meditate for ourselves about situations that's going on in our life, and we will stand before the river as an individual, not casting stones at one another and not stoning one another, but dealing with you in what the Father has dealt with you. Look, guys, we've said this many, many times in here. We're not perfect. We go through from year to year, and we know that as we stand on that river bank, it's going to be in flowing water. The whole idea is if you don't get prepared for this Thursday when we get to that part, because, guys, I'm going to tell you something. We are on this earth. Remember, what did Yeshua say whenever he washed the disciples' feet? He washed their feet. Why did he not wash their whole body and give them a whole mikvah? Because their feet is in contact with this earth. When we go to the workplace, how many of you guys, if you work in construction, how many flowery words do you usually hear in a day? It's not part of the English language. You know what I'm saying? These things, I don't care. This goes in your ear gates. We talk about the gates, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what's going on in our life. And the thing about it is it is a reset time for us. So Tammy and myself, we're going to be ministering about Tashlik, and then we're going to do a quick little ministry about a mikvah. Okay, the first one I'm going to read, and this is where they get it from, is Micah. Now, she's got verse 19, but I'm going to pick up in verse 17 and read through. No, verse 18 I'm going to start. It says, now I want you to listen at these words. You don't have verse 18 and 20, but I want you to listen to the scriptures. Because, guys, this is what this season is about. Do you need repentance? Do you need the Father to forgive us? I'm just telling you. And, guys, I'm trying to... Salvation, and if you don't know Yeshua as your Lord and Savior here today, today you need to make Him your Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, you need to make Him your Lord and Savior. You need not quit. You need to quit playing games. You need to get with the program. That's what this is about. You know, it's a commandment to be saved. It's a commandment to make Him master and king and ruler of our life. It's not an option. And if you think it's an option, one day when you take the wrong option, you'll wish you didn't take that option. Amen? This is a different way that we need to look at. In our society, in the Christian world today, you'll see signs that'll say, try Jesus. Because if you don't like it, the devil will take you back. You will hear these things. But the thing is you can't try Him. He's not for trying. The thing is this is a relationship. This is a commitment. Because the thing, it's a covenant. If you think that He's just like a coat that you're going to put on to see if it fits, guys, He don't fit you. We have to fit Him. We have to fit Him. He's not going to fit you because guess what? If you try Him on, it ain't going to fit. It just ain't going to fit. Why? Because the thing is, it's not about us. It's about Him. And the thing is we need to be putting on what He has. We need to put on His garment. What does it say? Put on the garments of praise? We have to put on the garments that He has for us, and we have to fit into that mold. Amen. And that's what this is about. This time and season, we've been going through Elul. We're coming up to where the Day of Awakening blast. Guys, like I said, this is not a game. One day you're going to hear that trumpet blast, and when you hear that trumpet blast, think if this is the last Shabbat before the actual trumpet blows. Where are we? This is what this is about. This is what this is about. Look, it's a real situation. I mean, we can sit here and we can go through church mode and all of that all our life, and we can sing and we can get pumped up and we can cheerlead and all that, but I'm telling you, if Yeshua walked into that door right now, you'd be on your face. And you would be praying, I hope he don't remember certain things. Amen. I hope you don't remember certain things. Good, bad, mediocre, whatever. I'm just saying, this is what this preparation time is about. Because, guys, we're going to have our day. Whether it's 8-track, reel-to-reel, or whatever video. There are certain things in your life and in my life you don't want to ever have to be played back. I'm just saying. And that's what repentance. And you know what? What can he do? When you repent, he edits that tape. He cuts that out, so that's never played. But if it's not repented of, it's going to be played. And I'm telling you, it's going to bring great shame. So what this is, a way to walk out these commandments. It's a way to help us. We just tangible people. We're tangible. We like things. We wear bands. What would Jesus do? We wear all these things, but we wear it. What would Yeshua do? We wear. The church world will wear everything except what Yahweh tells them to wear. Amen? I'm just saying, that's what happens. But you know what? It's about honor. You know the reason why I wear ZZs? It's about honor. Because he told me to. You know, I wear everything else, T-shirts. You know, I'm a great Christian and all these things. You know, we wear all of this stuff, but the very things that he asks us to wear, we go in the store, we do this. Because we don't, what's those threads you got hanging down there? You're like, oh my goodness, I know they're talking about me. You know what I'm saying? They don't talk about the ladies. They always got stuff hanging off of them. But the guys got these special. What those threads? What better way? Do you want a witness? We all say, yes, I want a witness. Wear a pair of ZZs in the Walmart. You'll get plenty of time. You'll get opportunity. What's that? Amen. That's just the way it works. But Tosh Leak is a time that where we get together. I want you to listen to what Yahweh is saying at the end of Micah. He says, who is a Elohim like you, pardoning iniquity. Pardoning iniquity. How many prisoners, Brian, would like to be pardoned? How many people write letters to the president, would you pardon me, that know they're guilty? And passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever. Hallelujah to that. Can we say amen to that? Amen. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in his steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Here's this word, Tashlik. He will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. And this is what we're doing. This is a type and shadow when we go to the river. You're going to have an opportunity to get out of a bucket some stones. If you've only got one sin, get two stones because you lied. So you get at least two stones. One for lying, and then you pick up the rest of your stones. Because I can tell you that during the time of Passover to now, you stumped your toe at least once or twice, I know. Amen? Through attitudes, through whatever, do you know allowing people to draw the wrong conclusion is still sin, still lying? We do it all the time. Verse 20 says this, you will show faithfulness because he has a promise. He made a promise to Abraham. Do you know that this is a loving father? That when he made a promise to Abraham, brought it through Yeshua. But how many times in his word is he going, he's remembering a promise that he made with Abraham. And I'm telling you, being a part of the Abrahamic covenant is a good thing. Because if you're part of the Abrahamic covenant, guess what? When he remembers Abraham, he remembers you. When he remembers Yeshua, if you have him Lord of your life, he remembers you. That's what it's about. It ain't about me and you. It's about remembering covenants that he made and us attaching ourselves to him. Because this is what he said. He said, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. So the very, very promise that he has given us from the days of old, that's how powerful this is. Tammy don't have this on PowerPoint because this came to me this morning. I'm going to read Psalms 130. If you got your scriptures, you can go to Psalms 130. I'm just going to read this. It says, out of the depths, this is how the Father feels about us. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Yahweh. O Master, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy. That's what this time is about, pleading for mercy. If you, O Yahweh, should mark iniquities, O Master, who could stand? If he marks our iniquities, if he marks us, who could stand is what he's saying. But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for you, Yahweh. My soul waits, and in his word I hope, and my soul waits for the Master. More than a watchman in the morning, more than a watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in Yahweh, for Yahweh is steadfast love, and with him there is plentiful redemption. Ain't we glad for that? In him there is no lack of redemption in him. He's got it for everybody. For everyone that's been created, he's got enough love and redemption for everybody. And he will redeem Israel from all. And that's a commandment. That is a promise. And he will redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. Guys, this is who we serve. We serve an awesome Elohim. Amen. The scripture in 1 John says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and do what? Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's what this time is about, that we want to tangibly do on Thursday afternoon when we go to the river. We go to a place that gives us an awesome vision and a visual of our sins being cast away and not being able to go and find them and letting the river take them. Amen?
So the principle of the seed, for those who are new, what we say, this is a pine seed, right? And it grows into a tree. And then from the tree, it becomes a light pole, which serves electricity, which gives us Wi-Fi, which, you know, on and on and on it goes. The whole service for Tashlik and the mikvah, you know, it comes from Micah 7:19, but where does Micah come from writing this down? Why did the Father give this to Micah to write down in 7:19? Where was another pattern for this? Deuteronomy 9:21. And I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was small as dust. And I cast, that word there's tashlik, the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. So what was a golden calf incident to Israel? It was sin. So what did he do? He burned it with fire. What's the second judgment coming with? Fire. And then he cast it into the water, into the sea, to say it would be no more. I'm redeeming you is what he's really doing. And it's a portent of what? The future. We're being cleansed by water and with fire. So we can see right here that casting, tashliking, if you will, that's the thing. I don't really know how to say that.
I don't think it's tashliking. I don't think it's that.
But today it can be tashliking. So Ezekiel 18:31-32, here's another place that shows forth this pattern. Cast away or tashlik from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of the church? Did you catch what it said in Psalm 130? He's going to redeem who?
Israel.
So, for why will you die, O house of Israel? When you become a believer, you're grafted into?
Israel.
For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares Yahweh Elohim. Therefore, repent and live.
Amen.
But there is another aspect of casting or tashlik that we want to bring out in Psalm 55:22. Cast or tashlik your burden upon Yahweh your Elohim. And, well, it didn't say Elohim. Upon Yahweh, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So here's what Yeshua said in John 7. This isn't in the PowerPoint. This came to me this morning. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Peter says this, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So when he said, he who drinks of me will never thirst again, I am the living water. And if you receive me, living water will flow on him. So what happens when we cast our cares onto him? We're casting them in essence into water. Because he's the living water.
Amen.
And if you're thirsty, you drink from him. We're told to cast or tashlik all of our anxiety on him. We're to cast everything onto Yahweh. So can you see the patterns? It keeps going and going and going. The water theme is there. What happens if we don't go up to the feast, Zechariah? What does it say? He'll withhold rain. And it says that their eye sockets will start falling out. Why? Because of dehydration. Yeah. Do you know the first place in your body that shows dehydration besides your mouth?
That's right.
Your eyes. They'll get harder to blink and thicker to blink. So the whole concept of casting your sin, casting your burdens, casting it off into water is because you can't retrieve it. Hallelujah.
Amen to that.
So when we cast our anxieties onto Yeshua, who is the living water.
Can I say this right here? And when you cast it, somebody else don't go and retrieve it and bring it back to them. Amen. Once you cast that sin and you cast that away, don't go out there and say and dig that up and bring it back to them later. You know what I'm saying? Worry about your own casting. You know what I'm saying? This is things for us that we need to cast out. Because I'm telling you, this is a really, when you see 100 or so people down at the river, and y'all see people that go by in a boat, they're like, what's going on over there? But when you're talking about hundreds of people or 100 people sitting on that river, and we're talking about being baptized, you can see what was going on at the Jordan. You can see what's happening when you see a lot of people going down into that water. You know, you can imagine, this is really, really, really a spiritual time. You know, and the Father takes, because I'm going to get to there in just a moment, even though I jumped in on her part. Peter said something in Acts 2:38, and we all quote it since we're Pentecostals. And what does that say? Repent and what? Be baptized. A lot of people will do the repenting part, but a lot of things, well, I don't think it's important to do the baptism. You know what? He wouldn't. If it wasn't important, he wouldn't have said it. And here you got a eunuch riding around on a buckboard or a chariot or whatever he was on. And the thing about it is after Philip got through ministering him, he says, man, here's some water. He says, well, let's get after it. The thing is that's very, very, very important because it has something to do about death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. And I want to walk in resurrection.
Amen.
I'm tired of walking in death, and I'm tired of death being around us. And if you want to get some death off of you, you need to get to the river. You know, and sometime when we take Brian down to the river, y'all pray for the fish. Because that water's going to start boiling.
We're not allowed to take fishing poles and fish our stuff back out either.
That's right.
Right. So, you know, to be clear for you and for the podcasting, when I said casting all your anxiety on him, I said casting tashlik, and you may go, that's New Testament, that's not Hebrew, that's Greek. But when you have etymological work, it's the etymology of the word. There is a work, which we own, that you can go to the Greek word once you learn all the shapes. And you find that word for casting, and it will tell you what Hebrew word that it was taken from. This word was taken from the Hebrew word, tashli. Cast it. Cast it onto him. So casting all your anxiety means casting. Give it to him. But don't take it back. And that's what we do. So if it's not enough that we don't take it back, we create new ones.
That's right. So now, as we're down there at the river, and we've done with our tosh leaking, if that's a word, after we do the casting of our stones, really and truly, for those who have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, for those who's newly saved, we will have a time for baptism for you guys, for immersion, full immersion. You're going all the way under. We're not going to sprinkle. We want to get all of that mess off of us. Amen. And we want to let that flow in water take it on down below. So get rid of this sin. That's what this is about. Baptism, mikvah in the Hebrew, mikvah is about, you know, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it's about. And the word mikvah itself, if I can go back, it says gathering of waters. That's what you do. You go to a place of running water where waters gather. And, you know, I have been baptized so many different ways. You know, I've been in a baptistry, you know. So the thing about it is, I like the idea of flowing water, because that's what the picture is when you go down and when you come up a new creation. You come up a new creature. Amen. But the thing about mikvah is this. In our church world, we usually only get baptized one time. We go, we get saved, we go down there, the preacher dunks us. But the thing about it is I don't touch you. I didn't touch you when you got saved, and we won't touch you when you baptized. You're going to go into that river, and you're going to do this yourself. This is a work between you and the Father. I have nothing to do with it. The thing about it is this is a relationship deal. This is where you will meditate, and you have this whole thing of understanding what mikvah is about. It's about totally cleansing spirit, soul, and body. In scriptures, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but in scriptures you will see how many times is the word washings used. The priest, before they would come to minister, they would what? Wash. Sometimes if you was in sin, and you would even take and wash your clothes. There's washings. It's about, what is the Father trying to tell us? We can't come to Him any old way we want to. It's about honor. It's about honor. I'm telling you, if you went to meet a king or a president or whatever, I'm telling you, you ain't going to just get off the lawnmower and go and get in your car and go meet him. No, you're going to take a bath and you're going to put on cologne. But the thing is, you're going to put roll-on on. And what I'm saying is this, you're not going to just go bouncing up in a person that is a person of respect. You just don't roll up in there. But hopefully you didn't do that on your first date. So the deal is that's what I'm saying is this, is cleanliness. They always say cleanliness next to what? Godliness. You hear that? That's because from the scripture, what it means is, and I'm going to get to this in the Genesis part, it's about a change of status. It's change of status. You're going to go down, and when you come up, because I'm telling you, the scriptures will tell us sometimes to do our first works over. Sometimes in this life, we just feel nasty. We feel dirty. We're not where we need to be in our spiritual walk. But the Father has a great way of letting us do a redo. You know, what do we do in the church world? We call it revival. And we have revival twice a year. And we rededicate twice a year. Why do we do all of these things? Because we know we're not where we desire to be. But life gets in the way. Everything gets in the way, and then all of a sudden, children come, and then more children come. But what I'm saying is we love life, but the thing about it is what we do is we're real people, and we work, and we get around people that just don't care. And if you ever, I'm telling you, if you ever watch the news, you need to be rebaptized, because you feel nasty. Because things has come across your mind that shouldn't be there. I'm just telling you, because you've been angry and aggravated at the mess that's going on. That's what this is about. It means something. He gives us something. I wish we could do everything by faith. And He commands us to do everything by faith. But sometimes He gives us a few tangible things to make us feel better. Because really and truly, if you don't get baptized by faith, you just got wet. That's all you've done. Because if you don't know that before you go in there and you go under, if you've not already had that transformation in your mind, all you're going to do is get wet. You're going to come up wet. That's all you're going to do. Wet and still dirty. That's just the way it is. It has to be a change of status. So it's a great time for us in our life to be able to get a good redo. Because I can tell you there's a lot of things in this last year that a lot of us has gone through. We need to be, and you know what? And it's fine to stay underwater as long as you want. Nobody's going to help you up. You stay down there. If you float down 30 yards, Now, eventually, there's going to be some standing people down at the end. If you get to them and you ain't come up, we're going to help you. You know, and if you got to start all over, we'll just do it that way. We don't want you to go too long. But the thing is, hey, go down under that water and pray. Go down under that water and battle if you have to. Hold your breath and get after it. It's not a time, this is not just something that you just, this is a relationship issue. This has to be personal. This has to be something to where it really is transformational that's going to take place in our life. Because I can tell you, I look forward to it. I look forward to it, and I go under that water, and boy, I just relax. And I said, when I come up, I want all that stink gone. That's what I want to happen. I just need it gone. Amen.
So let's show the first use of the word mikvah in the scriptures. In Genesis 1, 6 through 11, it says, "Then Elohim said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Elohim made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. Elohim called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day." So what's he done? So the earth was covered fully when it came. So now it's still water. It was covered in water, and it's still water. Now he just separated the waters. Is there life yet? Not yet. "Then Elohim said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and Elohim saw that it was good. Then Elohim said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with the seed in them. And it was so. So the gathering of waters, or the mikvah, happened because the water that covered everything below, he told to gather, or mikvah here, gather together, and then dry land emerged out of the water, and life then was produced. What did it say? Vegetation, plant yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit. What are we told to do? We're to bear fruit. So the concept is that no life could live until they did what? Came up out of the water. So it's like Mark mentioned a few minutes ago, it is like a death, because you can't breathe unless you're a fish when you're underwater. We're not fish. So we cannot breathe underwater. No gills. So we go under the water and we ask for this ritual cleansing, because the Hebrews 4:12 says what? That the word is living.
Amen.
Active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So if the word is living and active, then some of the active living things that we do is we demonstrate the patterns that demonstrated truths in the word. And right out of the scriptures in the very first chapter, you can see water. Now, was water sinful? Was the earth sinful yet? No, but it needed a change of status in order for life to come forth. Some of us are born again, saved, so we're not going into immersion for salvation, right? So we go in for sanctification in the after you've been baptized, after your conversion, then the rest of it's for sanctification. Amen. And we come up so that we can bear more fruit.
Amen.
So it's a beautiful pattern and a beautiful concept, and we can even show this in a few minutes in the life of Yeshua.
She talked about this, but I want to read this. Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yahweh was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So Yahweh said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land. Man, animals, creeping things. He's going to wipe everything out. He's going to destroy creeping things. Birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. I'm glad he didn't stop right there. But I want you just to ponder something. Yahweh was just a little bit ticked off in Mississippi talk. He was a lot. enough to where it grieved him. Guys, our sin grieves him. Our wicked ways grieves our Father. And that's what we got to see and we got to realize. You know, grace is not a get out of hell card. You know, like in Monopoly, you get out of jail free card. That ain't what grace was about. Grace was a power that he gives me and you to be able to walk out his ways, to be able to accept repentance when it was given, to be able to accept forgiveness when it was given, to be able to walk in his ways knowing that the heart of man is wicked more than anything, and who can know it? But to turn around the very beginning, and so what did the Father do? Now he turns around and says this in verse 8, and he says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of Yahweh. Guys, we need to thank Noah. Because if it wasn't for Noah in that day, we wouldn't be here. Because the deal is, now I understand that he knew because Yeshua was slain before the foundation of the world. And I know that he knew that Noah was there. But I'm trying to put in your perspective to know that all of creation is that wicked. And guess what? Noah's kids were probably glad they were his kids. Because they got to get on the boat. They got to get on the boat just by knowing Noah. Because I don't see him saying, and Noah's sons were more righteous than anybody. And all of the sons and daughters, he didn't say that. He said, but Noah found favor and he made a way out for him because there was a flood that came. I wanted you to see this picture. Tammy found this one. This is an excellent picture because you got to understand this. The act of the flood destroyed all of creation except what was in the ark. And if you don't really realize it, there's a word, P-I-T-C-H, pitch. Pitch was covered on the inside and the outside of that ark. But if you look up that word pitch, the word is atonement, like on the Day of Atonement. Atonement. He covered. He delivered so that, because I can tell you, he didn't need to have any holes in that boat. Or that boat was going to the ground. It was going underneath the water. So I just want to show you that what Tammy was saying, the wickedness was so bad. And don't think that the Father is not saying that it's bad today. It's just as bad today, if not worse than it was then. The thing about it is he made a promise. But like she said, there's going to be a purging next time by fire. There's going to be a purging for a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. That he didn't want to just start over. He just didn't come out and just kill everybody. He had to cleanse it. He baptized the earth. That's how important a mikveh is. He cleansed the earth itself. Because guess what? Where did man come from? The earth. Where's man going back to? The earth. We sort of have a connection with the ground. We sort of have connection with the earth because this is where we were made. This is why he told Israel, if you obey me, you can live in the land flowing with milk and honey until it's just running all over the place. But if you do not follow my ways and my commandments, who's going to spew you out? The land. It says the land will spew you. Can't, because there's a connection. There's a connection between us and the land. And disobedience, it says you can't, the land won't bear for you. If you're living in that land and there's sin, the land won't bear for you. So the land, even during this time, had to be cleansed. And Yahweh flooded, but he said he would never do it again. And you know what? We see a rainbow. You saw a rainbow coming in here. That's a promise that he gave Noah and them that I would never flood the earth again. But it just shows you that the Father is serious about his word. And he's serious about getting the sin out and keeping it out. And I'm afraid that we, as a body of believers, he has got a dysfunctional bride at this moment. He's got a dysfunctional bride. But you know what? I am so thankful, and I have a lot of faith, and I have a lot of hope that he's going to straighten out the mess. Because I can promise you, I can't straighten it out. I can't tell you enough things to straighten it out. It has to be the working of the Holy Spirit to do something in our lives to get us to a place to where we know that we're really and truly going to get serious with him and to understand that we need to continually walk in His ways and not just walk in His ways during times and seasons, that we need to continue to do it.
1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 2 says, "Moreover, brothers, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So this is speaking that they had a change of status. They went from bondage into freedom when they passed through this. So life from the dead in typology is what they were having when they came out of the sea. So the next few pictures we want to show you, Scott's actually in one of them, and Mark and I are, that when we were in Israel this past spring, this wasn't our first time to Israel, but this was our first time to this site. And this site was called the Path of the Patriarch. This path has always been, they said, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked this dirt road right here. This is southwest of Jerusalem. It's about 8 miles. It's in a place called Alon Shavat. It's run by Etz Gush Elyon. I think they're under the, y'all probably don't even know what that is anyway. I hardly do. But when they walked this path of the patriarch, they could see Jerusalem. As we continue to walk down this path, you could see Jerusalem off in the distance. This right here, when Mark taught a few weeks ago, he talked about a milestone. This is an ancient milestone. This is what they looked like. This is what they built.
Every mile, Romans built this. Every mile you go, there's this stone. It's a mile marker. But how many times have we ever said in our way that there's been certain milestones in our life? Well, this is where it really came from, and these are actually still standing, that every mile down that road, you would have one of these milestones standing.
Okay, so as we're walking down the path of the patriarch, they bring us to mikvah. This was a double one. They would go down one side, go through, and come up the other side. And there were two of those, this one and this one right here. That one was just a little ways from it. So what they would do is they would do their ritual bath. They were getting it done before they got to Jerusalem. They have them all over Jerusalem. The Essenes built them all over the country of Israel. They have uncovered and excavated many mikvot across that they had built, because they understood what these mikvah did for them. So this is about 8 miles out from Jerusalem, and they would already get started getting their ritual bath done so that they would be clean and pure. One of the traditions that we have in our home every Friday night is a hand mikvah. We do not believe we have to. We do teach in our home to wash your hands before you eat.
Amen.
We don't want to get sick. But we do a ritual hand mikvah, and we base it off of Psalm 24 that says, "Give us clean hands and a pure heart, and let us not lift our souls to another." So it's a way that we separate the common day from the holy day, and entering in a way saying that we understand, Father, that everything our hand has touched, whatever it is that was not of you, we want to enter in. That's what we're doing. So I want to show you some more patterns. Yeshua said, Yeshua arrived from Galilee for the podcast. This is Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Yeshua arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to Yochanan, John, to be baptized by him, immersed. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Yeshua answering said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Yeshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending as a dove and lighting on him. Behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Had he ever sinned?
Nope.
He had never sinned. But when did he start his ministry? After this event, after his mikvah, after he said it is to be done at this time to fulfill all righteousness, even the Messiah himself, who is sinless, who probably didn't really need a change of status, but who needed to see a change of status? We did. We needed to see it. Why? To fulfill all righteousness, to show us a pattern. He went down, and then his Father put the Holy Spirit, the dove, on him and said, Now he's declaring him, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Now, can I say this right here? Me and Brian was talking about this earlier. I didn't even know this scripture was in here in her part because I didn't even read her part. But think about this. We were talking about Yeshua. Yeshua's coming, and John, Yochanan the immerser, he sees him, and he says, behold, the Lamb of Elohim. And he's ready now to be mikvah, to baptize. And John is saying, you need to baptize me. And Yeshua says, no, this ain't about me and you, John. This is about honor to our King. This is about honoring my Heavenly Father. Because what did he do? He chose you to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Remember whenever Miriam, she comes up and she sees Elizabeth, what happens to Elizabeth? The baby jumped in his womb and he was what? Yochanan was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can see that these boys, they had a mission and they had a calling where one comes in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Son of Elohim. But even Yeshua himself did not come in here with pride and arrogance and sit here and says, you know what? This is bigger than me and you, John. This is bigger than me and you. This mikvah that we're going to be doing at Tashli, celebrating the feast, being here on Shabbat, this is bigger than us. This is bigger than us. I am here to honor my Father. He lowered me into this earth. He lowered me into this earth to perform, to be a way to reconnect mankind with Him, because He loves His people so much. And He says, how can I reconnect? And before the foundations of the world, they had that discussion. And He said, I'll go. If I have to be the one that reconnects, if I have to be the one that's the mediator, then I will go. And that's what He did. And He shed His blood for us on Calvary. But He not only shed blood and water came out of His side. Because guess what? Just like the flood of old, the earth had to be cleansed too. It had to be purified. The blood covers us. The water also purifies us. The blood and water purifies and cleanses the earth. It's not just about me and you guys. It's bigger than me and you. This whole earth needed to be cleansed. And that's what this is about. And this is why we're part of this. So when we're doing what He asked us to do, it's about honoring Him. It's about doing what He asked us to do. To do it to honor our King. Because if you can't see it, because at that moment, John was saying, hey, I need you. What greater honor would there have been for the Son of Elohim to baptize you? But for him to turn around and say, no, it's not about us. It's about our Father. Let's do it because it is written. Amen. That's why the
focus is. So what did it mean for John to baptize him? Did he take him down in the way that we are traditionally have seen it done? What did it mean? He entered into the waters that John was responsible for, and John would be the witness to it. When they baptized 3,000, it said John baptized 3,000 in a day. John didn't dunk 3,000 people in that day. John was the witness. John was the one responsible for that mikvah, but he didn't physically take him down. He's like, you need to be my witness to an immersion, not me being one for you. You're the perfect one. No, you have to permit it.
You have to be,
you have to be my witness that I have gone under and what's going to, you know, really what's going to happen after that, right?
Amen.
So 1 Peter 3:20b, the end of 20 through 21. In the ark, a few people, only 8 souls were saved through water. And this water symbolizes, I want you to get this, the baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward Elohim. It saves you through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. So you can see through the scriptures here a pattern that it isn't about the water, but it is something that we have to do. It's not the removal of natural dirt, but I want you to know that what you're doing in the natural is accomplishing something in the spiritual realm. So these patterns are all the way through the scripture. Jeremiah 17:13 says, O Yahweh, the hope of Israel. Did you know that word hope? What's the Hebrew word for hope? Tikva. But they share the same root. This word happens to be mikvah. This hope is mikvah here of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even Yahweh. Do you see why now they chose mikvah for that word? Because the gathering of Israel, they're giving a water motif here. That the hope or the gathering of Israel, all who forsake me, you'll be put to shame. Because you rejected the fountain of living water. So he's saying, don't reject it. Come together for me. In other words, he's saying you've become drought or dry.
Amen. We're going to finish up with this scripture here. Because guys, like I say, it is not a game. Baptism is not a game. Everything that we do here, we do it for a reason. Now, if you look at this scripture, let this sink in. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, or glory to him. Because this is what we're looking for. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Look at the next verse. It was given to her to clothe herself. Well, hello. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. See, a lot of times you're going to be sitting here thinking, well, he's going to clothe me. No, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. And look what the fine linen is. The righteous acts of the saints. That's why I've always said, what you sow in this life is what you'll wear in the next one. Because everything, you know, in churchianity, it was, we could not do anything, and he's going to give us, no, he's given us. He's given us everything we need to know to learn how to sew our fine linen. If we will simply do what he asks us to do, and we walk out and we do what he tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, how we love him and we love our neighbor, what we're doing is we're sowing, we're making ourselves, it's what it says, it was given to her herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Guys, there is a light. Matthew, we'll finish with this in 23-29. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai or Yahweh. And this is what Yeshua was telling them when they left. And if our Jewish brothers, one of these days, Israel, the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Israel, whenever Judah realizes that the Messiah has come, and they make this statement, blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai, guys, if you're not ready, I don't think you're going to be able to have time to get ready. Because he's been working with us as a people. He's been bringing the whole house of Israel back together. That's why we're learning to do the things that Yeshua did. And we're going to walk these things out. We're going to do them. Are we going to do them perfect? Absolutely not. But we're going to do them in faith, and we're going to do them to the best of our ability. And you know what? We're going to get better and better and better every year. And that's because that's a promise for us. Everything's really on him. We walk out by faith, but he keeps giving us knowledge every year to how to be able to do it right. And like I said, you have to understand and know that if all you're going to do is go down there to that river and you're just going to throw some rocks, then you're just going to exercise your arm. If you're going to get baptized or mikvahed, and if you're not taking care of your situation in your life, you're just going to get wet. It has to be a thing of status change. We need to be ready in season and out of season. We need to be ready all the time for things that, because things might pop up at any moment. And just like I said today, and I've been saying, one of these days, at the Feast of Trumpets, at the Day of Awakening blast, we're going to hear that blast. Is it going to be this one? I can't tell you the day and the hour. I can tell you the season. But the thing about it is, I just wish that I can convey this, that the people could know and understand. When Yeshua came the first time, His own people did not know Him. I can tell you, if Yeshua returned right at this moment, the church as we know it today is not going to recognize Him. Because everything that the Word speaks about, it's just like what me and you said in there, and you gave that analogy. You know, the thing about it is it, and Brian gave me an analogy, he says, I'm going to sit here and bring you a menu. And then you tell me what you want on that menu, and I go back out in there, and I come back out with just another plate. That's what the ministries are doing today. And you're going to say, I didn't order this. I didn't order it because this wasn't on the menu. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you what I want to give you. That is what the ministers, that's why it says woe to the shepherds in Jeremiah. It says woe to the shepherds because what are the shepherds doing you? I'm only, Tammy and myself, the elder, I'm only to serve what's on the menu. I can't serve you anything. And guess what? There's certain things in here that I love, like crawfish, that ain't on the menu. It just ain't on the menu. Crab claws. They were good if you ever... They're not on the menu. Lobster's not on the menu. So guess what? If you order it, I can't give it to you. As a minister, I can only give you this. But what is woe to the ministers who are saying all that's done away with and they're giving you whatever you want. And all it's doing is dumbing us down and we're not getting ready. We got to get ourselves and we got to get our act together and it starts with the ministers. I'm going to tell you right now, fivefold ministry is going to get a spanking like they ain't never had before. Because that's who it starts with. It doesn't start with the lay people. Judgment starts where? In the house of Yahweh first. Why would He judge the world when we're a mess? And that's what this is about. And I can tell you, when you're standing on that river, you're a sign of what's going on here. When you're here every Shabbat, you're a sign. What do? We don't just sit up here. It says the Sabbath is a sign to know that I'm in covenant. When we're here on the feast days, you guys, you have to ask off. And you know what? You can ask off and say, we're going to Disney World. And they'll say, man, I wished I was going. Man, I hope that, man, they all about you going. But you tell them you're going to Sukkot. What? What's that? What are you going to do there? Why would you do that? I wouldn't waste my time. But you know why the Father does that? It's because that's the only way they're going to get to know. And you've been elected to tell them by what you do. And guess what? Just enjoy the ride. Because the thing about it is, fivefold ministry ain't telling them. And by you walking out the commandments, they're going to ask you why. And then they're going to ridicule you. You went through that deal like Saunders. Finally, after it was all said and done, they was asked, well, the seventh day is Sunday. She just turned and said, look at that calendar. And says, what day is Sunday? First day of the week. Bye. That's all you got to do. Bye. It's over with. Conversation over with. I ain't going to sit here and argue about that. First day of the week is Sunday. Seventh day is Saturday. Bye. Ain't on any, just have a nice day. I ain't listening. Sandra, I ain't listening. I told you.
What?
What's that? And she's talking to the lady. She ain't even talking to the one who wants to know what that is. She's trying to do business here. But I'm just saying, we are signs. We're the signs. It's the wedding ring. You're in covenant. He's going to ask you to speak. Just be ready to speak and enjoy.
Amen.
You ready to pray?
Yeah, I am.
Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank You for this portion. Do thank You, Father, for the patience of Your people. I pray, Father, that, you know, as we get ready and we're entering into Thursday, as we're just approaching for the Feast of Trumpets, Father, again, just like we come to every Shabbat, that we would prepare ourselves.
Yes.
Father, that we would come to honor You as our King. And I pray, Father, that the examples that we see from Your Son, Yeshua, Father, being the son of Elohim, not the son of Adam, but the son, your son personally, being lowered into this place and how he honored you. He gave us many, many examples of how to do that. And I pray, Father, that we would follow those examples. And Father, that the things that you've asked us to do, the things that you serve up on your menu, Father, that we would be excited to be able to order off of that menu. And Father, that we would not try to reinvent the menu, that we would not try to reinvent times and seasons, but Father, that we would just glorify you, and by simply obeying you, glorifies you. So Father, I just pray that you would just be with us as we prepare for this season, as we're entering into it. We've been preparing, but Father, I just pray that we will go into it rejoicing, because this is going to be called a day of Yahweh. And this day for some, just like we saw up there on that PowerPoint, whenever Noah and his children, those animals, loaded up on the ark, after 7 days, you closed that door. And when it started raining, all talking was over. There's going to come a day when all talking's over. And Father, you've given us plenty of chance and time to accept you as our Savior. You've given us plenty of time, Father, to honor you, to do what you asked us to do. And I pray, Father, that there's going to come a day when you're going to shut that door. And I pray that we won't be like the five foolish virgins come beating and banging because we were not prepared. And he says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. Father, may we not be that people. Father, we just thank you for this day. In Yeshua's name, amen.